It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
If I'm paying $5,000 or whatever to set up a weekend, and I have the option to go to a club or to go play golf or go see David Copperfield and his bunnies.
Copperfield and the Leafs playing
Copperfield
Vegas.
All day.
Really?
Oh, Copperfield all day.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I've listened to that promo in my car a bunch of times, and it's your most garbage work. Copperfield every time.
Now,
my Copperfield take on Vegas?
You would go to the Leafs every time.
No, I'm telling you, I wouldn't.
No, like, you would. So come on, man.
Here, we got Ray coming up here in a minute, okay?
Okay, let's just get to him then, because I'm not doing this.
No. What I'm going to ask him, and he's over there. He's got a great gig.
Yeah, so
it's a great gig. But I want to ask him, because my understanding is he had never been to Paris.
You have to ask him if he actually cheers for a team.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
ask
him. The Red Sox. Ask him if the Red Sox were playing a game in Paris against the Yankees tonight, would he go? That's what you ask.
All right, fine. We'll ask him that. I was going to ask him something along those same lines. Like, if you were in Paris just based on tourism, you were a tourist, you were there with the family or whatever, or even with a buddy.
Right.
You're there with Landon. You're there with your kid. Would you go and see a hockey game?
Or a baseball game. Yeah, because that's the premise. You're seeing your team play in a different city. That was what I was saying. And just knowing how much I know you love Nashville, when you get to Vegas, you're going to love that city just as much.
Well, I have a good example. I mean, I was on a bachelor party in Vegas or in Nashville, and so I wasn't obligated to go, but it was floated out. We're going to go to the Predators game.
Correct.
So I'm not going to be the only guy that's like, no, I'm not going to go. So, of course, we all go. I left like halfway through the second period.
But was it Predators Leafs?
No, it was Preds Wild or something stupid like
so
that.
It wasn't
the greatest
team.
Game, but it was a situation where all I could think of was, why are we in this rink when Tootsie's is a 5-iron away from here?
Yeah.
And it is absolutely on fire right now. And I'll be thinking the same thing if I was in Vegas. Why am I at this rink at 9?
Yeah, if Minnesota was playing in Vegas, that's what your thoughts would be. If the Leafs were there, you would go to the game.
Yeah, I agree. That was my premise of it, is you're going to go, you can go to Vegas and you can do everything because that city just doesn't shut down.
I hear you, man.
At Tootsie's, I've been asked to leave because there is a shutdown time.
At like 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's pretty late. It's not like at midnight they shut it down. It's not Salt Lake City. And are there a bunch of cities where that would apply? Yes. You send me to Buffalo, I'll go to the Leaf game all day.
Right.
Detroit, all day. Bunch of different spots. But Vegas is very different. It's a lot like Paris.
You're right.
You send me to Paris, I'd rather just live like a Parisian and do my thing and experience.
Eat cheese and
yeah, drink wine. And absolutely.
You can do that. They'll probably have that at a hockey game there if they had hockey in Paris.
But it wouldn't be the same thing. Anyway, we'll see what Ray has to say about it. And Ray, I was surprised. I'm on Twitter last night. I'm watching the Oilers-Ducks game, and even I'm having a tough time staying up. And I'm in the Eastern time zone.
He's probably gone to sleep already and woken up because of the time zone.
It would have been 6 in the morning or something
like that? Yeah.
All right, let's head over to Paris. Why were you up watching that Ducks-Oilers game last night?
Because I went to sleep. Damn you, Noodles, and for spilling the beans. Like I wanted it to seem like I stayed up, and because I was enthusiastic. What the hell happened was I went to bed at 11, slept like a log until 3:30, and then I was like, "Wow, I cannot stare at the roof anymore. I'm dead awake because it's middle of the day."
Right.
So I've already been to sleep once. We came back from dinner. Which, of course, all of a sudden, Drager and Miller don't have their wallets. So I get stuck with dinner and came back and I actually set an alarm so I could wake up to do this because I couldn't make it. Tired, man.
So you were asleep and then you woke up for us to call and bother you? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Then give him the hypothetical I just threw out because I think that'll wake him up a little bit.
All right. Well,
want me to ask him?
Yeah, but give the backstory, about Vegas and all that kind of stuff.
No.
Well, you have to add context to it.
Okay, Ray, Brian Hayes is saying that if the Leafs were playing in Vegas and he was in Vegas, he would be like, nah, no thanks, I don't want to go to the game. If in Paris, the Red Sox were playing the Yankees in Paris, and you were there, whether it was through work or with your wife, would you try to get to the Red Sox game?
Oh, absolutely, I would.
Yeah, exactly, bud.
I mean, there's other times. Exactly. It's not like I'm here for 3 hours.
Yeah, but you're there, though. It's not like you're staying there for 3 years, either. You didn't
He's acting like he wouldn't go to the Leaf game
in Vegas.
He'd be
the first guy at the Leaf game.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't. Ray, I'm telling you, I wouldn't. Like, I've been to Paris. It's an incredible city, isn't it?
Well, as much as I've seen, it looks awesome.
Okay, well, but, see, this is the problem with you guys.
There's lots for me to see still, but I would think it would be really cool, like kind of an event to see them here. I've been to Fenway. Been to Fenway many times. Been to Yankee Stadium a bunch. But to see them somewhere cool, yeah, I would go for sure.
Here's the problem with this analogy.
That was my point yesterday.
No, but here's the problem with this analogy that we didn't think of. Ray lives in Vancouver. He's not from Boston. I live in Toronto. I'm very lucky. I get to go to Leaf games a lot. I've seen them live many times. Correct. I've watched them. So it's not like I'm, you know, the live experience to watch a Leaf game is not something that is unique.
Okay.
Or necessarily special anymore.
But what he's saying is if you're there for a length of time, what's 3 hours out of your...
If you're in Vegas for two nights, why would you waste 3 hours of that at a rink watching the game that you watch? That's what
Vegas doesn't even start till midnight.
You're getting out of the rink
at 10:30.
Where are you going to go instead? I know there's a million shows. There's a million, you know, but...
Poker tournament starts at 7:05. Strap me in.
Okay, so you'd rather be a degenerate.
100% in Vegas.
So your
absolutely.
Wife would really enjoy. Actually, she might. So you're going to strap yourself in at 7. She can go out.
Right. She'll go to the Leaf game.
Yes.
You know,
I think you would go. I think you're all talk.
Well, maybe I am. But I guess, you know, Paris is another example. Like, these are unique cities. I'm not talking about going to Denver, Colorado, and being like, no, I'd rather hang out at Gabby's down the road. Like, Vegas, Paris. Like, these are, you know, such special places where you go for the atmosphere and the culture and to experience what life is like there.
I think people are going to go watch their team.
I think you're probably right.
If Vegas is smart, they'd have packages together that, you know, maybe you can, you know, they can put together some show or three or four shows that work in concert that, you know, you can go to a game, go to a show, a couple nights in a hotel, and this is your price. Like, if they're smart, they would do that for sure.
That's what's going to happen.
They will 100%. And believe me, I know people will buy in. But my man Dan just tweeting in saying, Hayes is spot on. If I'm in Italy and I want pizza, I'm not ordering Domino's. Exactly.
Yeah, that's
I've been food, to Leaf games. I've seen Leaf games.
Yeah, but you're acting like...
I've experienced it. But what do you think they're going to do in the rink that is going to be any different than every other rink in the league? How is it going to be any different?
What if you're somebody that's not you that doesn't have access or...
And I understand
the ability to go to the ACC, and so they're in Vegas. They're hooting around with their buddies, and they're like, "Hey, the Leafs are here. Why don't we go?"
You're right.
Of course, they're going to go.
But I get it. I'm spoiled.
I would challenge that Domino's pizza theory, because you could eat Italian pizza in Italy while watching a hockey game in the stadium. That's my point.
Like that, anyway,
it's the entertainment factor, and I've been to Vegas over 50 times in my life. So I know how to block my time off that I could fit in a Leaf game.
All right.
That would be my plan.
Anyway, Ray, you woke up, you watched some games last night. What are your thoughts? Give us some thoughts on what you watched.
I thought Ian Cole was unbelievable in the third period for Pittsburgh. But I couldn't believe how the Penguins, like, they were, for two periods, they were hanging on by a thread. And they were able to bring it home. Like, they didn't try to make more than a couple of plays for literally for 40 minutes. They got the puck. They chipped it down the ice. They scrambled around. They got a change. Here come the Capitals again. And then in all that time, at no point really do I remember Ovechkin being super dangerous at any point. Like, I don't even remember him having the puck.
Invisible.
And that, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, for whatever you think of, you know, of Ovechkin. And I've said, like, you know, I think it's pretty clear he's not even their, you know, he's not their best player. He's their most noteworthy player, but he's not their best player. But this is the time where there's a reason you pay a guy 8 or 9 or 10 million bucks, and that's not to shrink when the pressure's there. And he was just gone.
He was brutal. He was brutal.
I can't believe it. I was shocked at that. There was also one other thing when you say about what else did I notice. There's about 4 minutes left, and the puck got chipped into Washington zone, and Phil got there first, and he was a hound on the puck. I couldn't believe how he protected it.
Yeah, he cycled it. Yeah.
He cycled it. He lost somebody. I'm trying to think who was checking him. He had a D right on his back, and he totally lost him and then controlled the puck again. I'm like, wow, that really stood out for me. Like, man, they might be able to bring this in, and they did. That was really surprising to me.
Well, we had that discussion a couple of weeks ago going into Game 4 where I made the argument it was a statement game for Ovechkin.
Right.
And you disagree with me. I think you guys did as well. And you made the point at that particular time that Backstrom's the better player. I mean, and I can't necessarily disagree with that. But in terms of who is the poster boy of the team, who gets paid the most, who's the superstar, who's the top 20 player all time, it's Ovechkin. And I look at a game like last night. They needed him to have a Ryan Getzlaf game. They needed him to own a game. And what ends up happening with Alex Ovechkin every year, he's got 4 points through four games. He scored against the Leafs. But what he did was he'd score on his third shift and then disappear the rest of the game. But at the end of it, you say, wow, he had 5 goals and 12 points in 11 games. He did his part. And then what ends up happening is in November or December or January of the next year, organically the argument comes up, how much is on Ovechkin? Is it on Ovechkin to lead them to the third round or to a title or whatever? And invariably, people argue, well, it's a team sport, and look at his numbers.
Right. I think what happens,
but now
though,
that we're
Brian,
in the moment, you realize that that's his problem. Last night, he was brutal in the biggest game of the year.
I think it goes to the way, and it might be the best thing for Ovechkin, and something similar happened with Joe Thornton and the San Jose Sharks, where it was just like, you know what, piss on these guys. They're going to make the playoffs. Who knows what they're going to do? I'm tired about talking about them as a favorite or someone that's supposed to win the cup. And for a couple of years, that happened in San Jose, and then boom, they ended up in the finals. It's just like, go ahead, Ray.
Sorry, I was going to say, don't you think like Joe changed though? Like Joe became a player to be counted upon.
All of them do, Ray. Like Steve Yzerman did too. He realized that 150 points in the regular season, it's great and everything. I might be up for the heart against Gretzky and Lemieux, but ultimately I'm not going to win. And nobody praised Steve Yzerman more than his cup wins and his ability to change and become a two-way player and block shots. It wasn't about the goals and scoring 60 or 50. It was just about winning.
Well, it's funny. Brian brought up Getzlaf. And if there was ever a 180 degrees from your star guy, from what Ovechkin did to what Getzlaf did. When the Ducks took that too many men on the ice penalty, that was Getzlaf's fault in the first period. They were kind of hanging on, and then they, in the first period, and it looked like they were stabilizing things a bit, and then they're making a change, and for whatever reason, Getzlaf plays the puck. Too many men on the ice, boom, it's in the net. It's 1-0. Then it's 2-0. But from the start of the second period on, like they just had no answer for what he was doing. That was what your big boy has to do at big boy times. Like, that was so impressive. So impressive what he did. He just, for this playoff, he's thrown the team on his back, and he's been there clearly, far and away, their number one player. Not even close. Like, it's been really impressive to watch what Getzlaf has done. And he did it last night, and they sure as heck needed him to come through.
Well, here's the amazing thing. Two of his points should not have counted based on Corey Perry's goalie interference. I have no idea how that was allowed. I have no idea. And you know how I hate review, and all that does is add to my case, because if you're going to waste time in review and still get it wrong, what is the point? And there is not a rule implementation in pro sports that I loathe more than the offside review, but it is in place. And Perry was offside, but the irony is they couldn't challenge it because they challenged what should have been called back on the first goal. And if I'm in Edmonton, I am choked today, Ray. I thought that was not a good look for the league last night.
Well, this is the second goalie interference penalty in the playoffs where I've seen the play, and I thought for sure like I was certain it was goalie interference. The first one was in Nashville, Chicago.
Yeah.
Crawford was beat, and I believe it was Arvidsson going across the front of the net. Forsberg shot it, and Crawford was turned sideways. And they said, oh, he was outside the paint, and that's his incidental contact. Now they're saying Perry's contact is incidental, but it's outside the blue. If his blocker was 3 inches outside the blue, that might have been it. He didn't have a chance to make the save. You guys know I'm looking for more goals all the time. They've got this review process, and the determination of the rule, they've got it so gummed up, I don't think anybody knows anymore. And really, if there's any other priority for the league than straightening this out in the off season, I don't know what it possibly can be. But then we hear the commissioner say, no, we're not contemplating a change. We think it's working well. And who thinks it's working well? No, nobody that's watching the games, that's for sure.
No.
Well, that's true.
It is frustrating because I've said this all along. I'm a proponent of getting it right. And that is either through review or just, I mean, it's unfortunate. Things happen so quick. There is human error. But just get the call right. If you're going to waste 5 minutes of people's time while you're going through the review or having that process, like now everything is subject to interpretation. So if you took 20 people and put them in the room, it must have been over 10 last night that thought that wasn't goaltender interference. Well,
and that's my point, Noodles. If you're going to get a 50%, let's say you get it wrong 50% of the time without review.
Right.
And you also get it wrong 50% of the time with review. What the hell's the point?
Right.
Like, what is the point of wasting time? It's a complete waste of time.
Yep.
And it just sucks the life out of a game.
They need to go to the drawing board here and firmly define what is or isn't interference.
I agree.
And it might be as easy or as straightforward as saying if the contact is in the blue, incidental or not, then it's goalie interference. If it's in the white, then it's incidental contact.
Yeah, like so the goalie has to stay in his blue.
They spend the time to paint the ice blue. So maybe if the goalies need more room, make the blue, instead of round, make it square like in the old days, but out a little more so there's more room, and that's it. If you're in the blue, it's goalie interference, and the goal doesn't count. Like make it clear enough like that, because this is, I don't know, this is to me is just a guess every time.
Well, at the end of the day, it's 2-2, and the Oilers now have to go into that building and win a game, and they're capable of doing that. The road team has won all four games. And this series has been a fun series.
There's been a lot
of goals. There's been controversy. The coaches are barking back and forth.
I've played in series where something happens in a game where it totally flips and you kind of can't come back. We were down 3-1 to Montreal in the game, 2-1 in the series, and we won the game, and it was just we couldn't do it. They couldn't do anything after that. That could happen here for Edmonton and Anaheim. It could be like,
could be a
watch out.
Game.
Yeah, watch out. We're going to just mop you up now, and good luck with that. Could happen.
Well, I got to think Anaheim will be good at home here because they weren't particularly great the first two. I mean, law of averages would say they're going to be, they'll be better. I mean, one game Talbot stole down there or he was by far the first star. So I don't know. I think Anaheim's in really good shape for game five. And then all the pressure goes right to Edmonton. So I guess we'll see. They've answered before. The Oilers have answered several times in these playoffs already. And it will not be an easy task for sure.
No, it's not going to be easy. With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, you're over there for the World Championships. Quickly, before we let you go, on a Toronto standpoint or from a Toronto standpoint, what are you expecting Mitch Marner's role to be? Have you heard anything? How is he going to mix into everything over there?
Well, no. I mean, Cooper didn't say too much today, but I was talking to a couple other broadcasters, and they were asked. It's funny, they were asking about Marner, not about I guess the guys they had seen more frequently over here. It's really cool for a lot of the journalists here because, you know, other than watching on TV, this is the only chance they get to see the NHL players live. And they were asking about Marner, and I said that I think he'll start with a smallish role on this team. But I think he will become more and more prominent through the seven-game round robin. Like I mean, the ice is built for him. More room, more space to hold on to the puck. It can relax a little bit from the way that, you know, the first round was a tough sled for him. And, you know, it's his first playoff and all the stuff that goes around with it. I think Marner will be more prominent than he'll be more prominent as the tournament goes along, where some guys are 180 degrees the opposite. They play a big role early and they fade away. I think Marner goes the other way.
Ray, I was thinking about the smallish skill guy last night watching Eberle, and I think Marner's upside is obviously more than that. I think he's more of a dynamic player, but I mean, you're not the biggest guy in the world. Speak to the challenges of performing in the playoffs when it's big boy hockey. I mean, that Anaheim team, they're a big, strong team, and you really have to, I mean, what are the keys to, you know, just being not that guy and finding space and having success?
Well, I think that you have to realize there isn't any space, and so there's going to be no space for you as a little guy. You got to find a way to make yourself available to get to where the offense is. And I've thought all year that's been Eberle's problem, is that he's been too often he's just outside the defenseman instead of just inside. He shoots the puck from an area that's not going to go in anymore very often. You don't see him fishing around for rebounds. And that's one thing. I mean, of the obvious stuff we loved about Marner and watching Marner this year, what really impressed me was his willingness to go and fish around for the puck and to protect the puck and get into the front of the net and take a pop in the nose to try and find whatever loose change might be around there. I don't think Eberle does that near enough. And he's played this playoff far too soft, far too much on the outside to be effective, and his numbers show it. I mean, he's another guy last night. I mean, I didn't even really notice. You know, when you hear his name, I was like, I forgot. Wow. You know, but there wasn't much there for him again.
I noticed him when he gave the puck away twice, and then it ended up in the back of the net on the goaltender interference call, because that was him.
Sometimes with that, Noodles, I think that's just like a short arm. You're just a little nervous, a little tentative with the puck, and that all comes with your will. Your will to make the play. Sometimes, as the little guy, man, you just get steamrolled by a play that somebody else can absorb.
I will give him credit, though, that he did try to make it work. Like he made it. You could see that he kind of had a reset. He got benched a little bit, and he tried to make some plays. I think he got an assist on the game tying goal.
Yeah, he did.
But this is 10 games in.
Yeah, you're right.
Like they need more out of him. There's more there, but he's got to determine himself that. No more of this outside the D. I got to get inside the D. I got to drive the net. He doesn't, for whatever reason, do it enough, and he hasn't this year. And then he got hot at the end of the year, and it made his numbers look better. But it's not been a great year for him, and unfortunately for the Oilers, it spilled over into the playoffs.
All right, buddy, enjoy yourself over there, and I'm sure we'll bug you again down the road.
Yeah, I got 8 games in the next 3 days, so don't call me in 3 days, would you?
Yeah, we'll call you next week when you're off to one of those local hockey games that we hear so much about in Paris.
Okay, so now because there is no local hockey games, what am I supposed to do, go find a club hockey game?
You got to. I mean, that's what you guys do. Love going to places like Paris and watching sporting events.
That wasn't the point. Red Sox. That's what
we're talking. If the Red Sox come here for a game Tuesday when I'm off, I'll go watch the Red Sox.
Okay. It would be a horrible decision, but hopefully it happens just for you.
Not if Chris Sale's pitching. 10 more Ks, baby.
Well, he might be suspended. The guy's a goon. He's throwing at people.
The psycho.
I'd take him on my team.
How about the guy last night throws a 77-mile-an-hour flipper up there and gets kicked out of the game?
Unbelievable, eh? Like, there's a part of me that sympathizes for the ump, because you know, considering what happened the night before, that Major League Baseball was calling them and said, do not let this get out of hand. So all he was thinking was, you hit him, it's the bottom of the second, but it's a 77-mile-an-hour hook shot. It's a curveball. This is a starting pitcher who could ring it up mid-90s. You think he's going to throw a curveball at a guy? I mean, I've never heard of that before.
And do you think after he threw him out, he went and he pulled his mask on and he's like, that was not supposed to happen like that?
No.
I would assume.
It was Leslie Nielsen.
I've got 3 hours back here. This is going to be great.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah, it was Leslie Nielsen behind the plate. That's why.
I'm in trouble.
Leslie Nielsen might have done himself proud last night.
Felt that way. There's a lot of officiating issues in North America. Let's hope it doesn't continue during the World Hockey Championships.
Well, we'll give it a go, but I'm sure we'll always find something to pick at.
All right, buddy. Looking forward to it.
Later on, boys. Have a great weekend.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, live from Paris. You want to hear audio of the Boston Red Sox call?
Yes.
So keep in mind, Kevin Gausman got ejected. That's the Orioles' starting pitcher. This is the opposing team and their call of the ejection. You know it was a gong show when this is the reaction from the opposing team's homer broadcast crew.
He has been thrown out. Joseph is livid. And screaming at the home plate ump, Sam Holbrook. Xander Bogaerts hit by the pitch. Showalter has to back his catcher away, but they're going to need a new pitcher.
That's clueless. The Holbrook is clueless. it's clueless. I mean, you can't be that clueless. I mean, he threw a breaking ball, hanging breaking ball, into Bogaerts' back. I mean, everybody that watches him, you know, anybody that knows baseball, that he's not trying to throw at him. That's ridiculous. I mean, have an idea.
Have an idea.
That's a great soundbite. Have an idea.
That is Dennis Eckersley calling for Nesson. That is the Boston Red Sox call. And this guy dropped four clueless bombs and a have an idea.
Boy, he's pissed.
Like, he was Gary Roberts. Like, absolutely frothing at the mouth that starting pitcher got thrown out.
But he also has a soft spot, obviously, for pitchers. And he's saying, that is ridiculous.
It is. I mean, I've never heard of a guy being tossed for throwing a curveball at someone's back. I mean, it was a hanging curveball.
I love that phrase, have an idea.
Yeah, isolate that one. We might have to drop that more.
For sure.
Four clueless
That's
bombs.
That's a segment. Have an idea.
Have an idea. Listen to how disgusted he is.
I mean, have an idea.
He's grossed so out.
Rattled. That's like the dad when he's yelling at the son when he can't find the thing in the garage. It's just like, have an idea.
I mean, have an idea.
For sure.
It's so true. It sounds like a disappointed father.
Yeah.
Like his son
took a stupid penalty with 30 seconds left in the game.
I mean, have an idea.
Just have an idea.
Dump the girl that the family wanted you to stick around with.
Yeah.
I mean, have an idea.
Got the wrong beer when he sent them out to the beer store.
I mean, have an idea.
Took mom's car out for a drive and crashed it into a tree.
I mean, have an idea.
Might be some expletives joined in that one. You can text us 10-50-50 at any point. Someone texting in, Hayes, you're a geek, pal. Copperfield would be awful compared to a Leaf game. All right, you got me.
Yeah, you geek.
You got me.
Savage.
Speaking of geeks, I've got a Star Wars story.
Really?
There's a kid in Wisconsin that shut his high school down, and I can't imagine this guy's getting invited to any parties anytime soon. And I would think if he went home and his dad heard about the story, there's a very good chance he would say,
I mean, have an idea.
I'll tell you about that next. Nick tweeting in saying, we got a new segment. Blown calls, missed calls, last night's review on the Getzlaf goal. Have an idea.
I mean, have an idea.
Thank you to Dennis Eckersley for supplying us with material.
Very good.
He was so pissed.
That's the opponent's home broadcast crew.
You can't drive that home enough.
I can't. Like, I can't. I would expect it out of the home crew. I mean, people complain about broadcast crews leaning towards homerism. What do you expect? Of course. That's their team. They're catering to the hometown crowd.
Now, some are worse than others.
Sure, and at times it can get to a point where I would think it would even bother the hometown fans because they would be thinking, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, like it's enough.
You know, the team's brutal. You can admit they're brutal, right? Or whatever it's going to be. But in moments like that last night, of course they're going to lean towards the home team.
For sure.
This is the Red Sox homers calling out the umpire for what they did to the Orioles.
Eckersley's right, though. If the guy's a dope...
Overly cautious, man. We see it in every sport now because everything is highlighted, everything's slowed down. You know, it's happening in the NHL, too. They're all freaked out to make a mistake. They don't know what the hell they're supposed to call. Like the Bonino high stick is a perfect example last night, or the Oshie high stick on Bonino. Bonino screwed over the ref because the ref was behind him. I could see why he would think it was a high stick.
It looked like he got high stuck.
And if he did and he didn't call it, and Bonino turns around, he's got blood all over his face, guess who was in the crossfires after the game?
And
Oshie the
ref scores something.
Guess
something
what you've got? A Carey Fraser situation.
Yeah.
Gretzky on Gilmore. Screwed up the call, didn't make the call, and guess what happens? People to this day still want to say a certain phrase to Carey Fraser.
I mean, have an idea.
We're doing a segment, Have an Idea.
It's a good
It's going to be on Mondays, and we're going to go over the idiots on the weekend.
Kind of like a daily dope.
I mean, have an idea.
I love it.
It's going to be called Have an Idea.
Well, I've got one. There was a kid, like today is May the 4th, so May the 4th be with you. It's a big Star Wars day.
Yes.
Now, I've seen the original three Star Wars, and I've seen the most recent one. I never saw the middle ones.
They lost me when those things started talking weird language. Like, I couldn't
follow. The Ewoks?
I don't even know what they were.
I don't know. I didn't see the three middle ones, so I don't have any take.
I saw the first one where it's like,
I think it was one of
them. I've never seen anything after.
The most recent one was okay. Like, it was well done. I didn't think it was as spectacular as it was being hyped. But you got me.
Right.
I'll go track them. I got to be honest. The second Guardians of the Galaxy, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's
starts,
a great movie.
Tomorrow.
Guardians of the Galaxy, great movie.
I saw The Circle today. It was pretty good.
I'm a big fan of Chris Pratt. I think he's great.
Yeah, well, there's a big hype around that movie.
I will go see it, and I'm not a big movie goer. I may not get to the theater, but when it comes out, I'll track it. I'll buy it, or I'll catch it on TMN or whatever. Anyway, so today being May the 4th, some high school kid in Wisconsin showed up to school dressed as Darth Vader, and I guess while he was walking into the school, one of the moms dropping off their kid saw the guy walk in, called the police.
Well,
and said, there's some lunatic with a mask and a black, you know, cape walking into the school. They had to evacuate the school, shut down the school.
But that's the world we live in now with how you see, especially it's happened in the U.S. It happens everywhere where somebody goes in and shoots a school up or something, or a kid brings a gun to school. Like, that's unfortunately, the guy's probably just joking, having a good time, or...
What's he thinking, though? What are you doing showing up to school as Darth Vader?
I mean, have an idea.
Seriously. And then the school gets evacuated? Like...
He could be charged for that.
I think he's probably going to have to deal with some sort of repercussion, but...
He's probably just joking around, having fun. That's my point. As society today, I guess you have to have an idea of what is sensitive and what's not.
I think you got to have an idea on whether or not that's going to help you survive the school year.
You probably could have had the outfit on and carried the mask in.
How about no Darth Vader gear, period?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're trying to get the wheels in motion with that cute blonde and...
Yeah, it didn't go south.
Art class. I don't think she's waiting for you to show up dressed as Darth Vader.
I mean, have an idea.
You did it. My fantasies come true.
I think it was
Imagine that actually closed the door on it. Yeah, like, that actually was like, yeah, that's what I was waiting. I've been waiting for Darth Vader. I've been waiting for Darth Vader to walk into my life.
The Phantom Menace, Episode 1, Star Wars, that's what lost me. I couldn't understand some of the characters in there.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was like Jar Jar Binks or somebody. It was like one of those little, not Ewoks.
An Ewok. They're Ewoks.
Is that what it is?
Yes, Ewoks, I believe, yeah.
That's not Jar Jar Binks then, but Ewoks. I couldn't understand what the hell they were saying, and I was done with them after that. It's unfortunate because it's such a great movie, but I'll circle back. I haven't seen the latest one.
Yeah, the latest one's okay, and they've got a couple. They got the new one coming out around Christmas, and then the other one, I think, the year after or something like that. I'm a little concerned Marcus Stroman might be going Noah Syndergaard on the Blue Jays. He left the game last night. General arm soreness, or tightness, I believe was the way that he defined it. General arm tightness. But he came out afterwards. He said, I'm fine. It's all good. I'm going to start next Tuesday when they play Cleveland. And he said he doesn't have to be examined. He doesn't want to be examined by the medical staff. And
really?
All I could think of was, how did you not learn your lesson from Noah Syndergaard and what just happened with the Mets? Where he said, you know, I'm not dealing with the MRI. I'm not going to be looked at. And then he goes out and blows his arm out, and he's out for 2 months. And I can't speak to how Stroman's feeling. He's the only one that can do that. You know where I stand on athletes deciding if they're going to play or pull themselves from the game. That ultimately is their call.
This is a dangerous train these guys are going on.
Exactly. Agreed. I don't think it's their call on whether or not the medical staff can see
them. I would suspend them. I would just say, okay.
You've got to be.
I think it's on the Blue Jays to go up to him and say, get the hell in that room, and we are going top to bottom on your arm to find out what's going on with you.
Or just go home. You got to draw the line. You can't let these guys. They get everything nowadays. If you're just going to say, if you're going to allow players to just say, I'm not getting treatment, I'm not going to a doctor, I'm not getting an X-ray, an MRI, that is insane.
It's an investment. He's a young player, and he would be stupid not even for him for himself.
That's what I don't get. Like, how much of an ego do you have? Like, do you have to say, nah, no, I'm not doing that.
There's a difference between gritting out something and being stupid.
Well, we know all the times when you said, the doctor said, okay, go to this guy. It's for your own benefit to try to help you.
Right. Like, that's why the Syndergaard thing, he knew something was wrong. Because
the only thing I can think of, Jamie, is all these guys, they have their own teams now. Right. It's probably an ART guy, a medical guy, and somebody might have looked at him and said, nah, because these guys, they go to their hotel, they give them treatment.
You're right.
And somebody might have just said, no, you're fine. You don't need to see this guy.
Well, I hope
he's
right.
And that's a major conflict with the team.
But exactly. I hope he's right. But what? Why not just be like, I'm not going to say anything. Right. I was a little bit scared. I think I'm fine. I'm planning on playing, but I'm just going to check out the docs and see what's going on here.
Here's a question, and it's more based at the organization. If you're going to spend, what do you think this guy's going to be worth in his career? $100 million or
more? He's going to make a fortune. Okay. If he keeps pitching the way that he has
been. If that's an over $100 million investment for your future and for your organization, you're going to allow him to dictate? Like that? Say you're going to get paid? You want to get paid by us? Like, our doctors are looking at you.
Right. I think that is absolutely within the realm of acceptability for teams to say, you are our employee,
exactly.
And we want you to be evaluated by the doctors and make sure that everything's okay. Let them just examine your arm. It'll take 10 minutes.
It's ridiculous that the player says, I can understand. If he feels he's fine, then the doctors, there's nothing to worry about. The doctor will go, yeah, he's right. He's fine. Move on.
And I would guess between now and Tuesday that will happen. You know, like, it's not cooler heads will prevail. It's not as if this was some big controversy
logical.
Or anything. But, yeah,
logic.
You came out of the game. You had general tightness in your arm or in your armpit.
Right.
And it got to the point where you felt like you had to come out of the game. Now, it was cold in New York last night. By all accounts, that might have caused him problems. You could see he was stretching, trying to work something out earlier in the game. And hopefully he's fine. I would expect he will be. He does know his own body. But I look at the Syndergaard story. Mm-hmm. That would have just been a red flag across baseball. Anything that pops up, take your 10 minutes and go and just get examined and make sure that everything's on the right side of health.
I
know
agree.
What I mean? Make sure that you're in the right position. So, and ultimately, at the end of the day, the Jays blew that game. They had multiple leads and
they
blew that game, and now they're 9-19. And
not good.
Well, Scotty Mack was punching the numbers last night and was tweeting out that for them to hit 90 wins, they have to play over 600 baseball, which is over the course of a season like 97, 98 win baseball.
And they've been nicked up and inconsistent. And
even if they were 100% healthy, they weren't winning 97 games. They weren't going to play at a 600-type pace anyway. So there's still a lot of baseball left, over 130 games.
They need multiple tears. Like go on a tear now, go on another tear midsummer, and then another tear in September.
Right.
And, like, I'm talking tears.
They need, like, a miracle September. Like one of those 18 and 6
But they're
going
to need two tears in the middle of that to get to a point where they even need that miracle.
And you look at the way the Yankees are playing right now. You look at the way Baltimore and Boston have been playing.
Right.
It's not going to be easy.
It's not good, right?
It's not good, as Phil might say.
Get my skates. Where's my skate?
This guy's such an idiot here.
He was so funny on that bench.
He was. But he played, to Ray's point, he played well last night.
I thought he was terrific. I never thought I'd say that.
I called it yesterday. I said, Phil's going to have himself an evening.
But that being said, it is Like, Washington could have, if Marc-Andre Fleury is just okay or average yesterday, Washington wins that game. Like, they were all over him.
The same thing in the first two games, Noodles.
Like, that's the thing. You're right. It's coulda, woulda, shoulda, and that's not the case. I mean, they're down 3-1. But they grossly outplayed them as far as chances and everything, but they didn't execute.
3-1 is 3-1. Bob McKenzie and Duthie in studio. It's a big weekend in the CFL, which means the Leafs are going to do something massive this weekend. We'll tell you about that next. Carlos reading in saying, someone at work today said that the rain outside is a dry rain. That's someone that needs to...
I mean, have an idea.
How do you have a dry rain?
I don't know.
How stupid is that comment?
I mean, have an idea.
Yeah, it's raining, but it's, you know, it's a dry rain.
That's somebody who's...
on crack?
Yeah, I was going to say, as high as a kite, rolled into work.
Dry rain. Apparently, it's just pouring, and it's miserable out there. I can't recall the last time we had... like 2, 3, 4 weeks of weather like this where it's been raining nonstop. It's been really awful weather.
All I hope is it doesn't lead to a bunch of mosquitoes.
Be honest. You'll take 25 and sunny with mosquitoes over this garbage.
Depends. I mean, you're right. I hate the rain, but I despise mosquitoes, and I thought I saw one last night.
You didn't see one. Up.
I think there was a mosquito.
I don't think there are this is going to sound so stupid. I've lived in Toronto my whole life. I've never seen a mosquito in the city.
They're in the city. You sit out on your deck.
Dude, I've been out there. I know. I can't recall ever in my 33 years living in Toronto walking like down Yonge and be like, "Ah." just got bit by a mosquito.
Maybe not in Yonge, but I'm telling you where you live now, you're going to get eaten alive on the barbecue.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's the truth.
And good point.
Where I live in North York, I think there's mosquitoes. I've seen them.
I don't think there's a border crossing. So once you get into North York, all of a sudden mosquitoes show up. But if you get into the old city of Toronto, they know that they're not allowed.
I just don't think they fester enough down there. Like, you're right, in the buildings and all that. Like, if you live in a high-rise, you've probably never seen a mosquito.
Right.
But... you live in a suburb, there's mosquitoes everywhere. It's disgusting.
You're anti-mosquito. I get it. So I'm expecting something big to happen this weekend.
Right.
I think the Maple Leafs are going to make a blockbuster move or some massive announcement for no other reason. There are actually two reasons.
All right.
You're going down to New York to get your back checked out.
Yes, I am.
Whenever you are away, generally the Leafs do something big.
Yes.
But moreover, and more importantly, there is big CFL news that is going to happen this week. This weekend is the 2017 CFL draft.
Last year?
Every time the CFL or the Argos make a big announcement, the Leafs storm in and steal the limelight from them. It's right. Actually a really greasy move.
It is.
Here's a few examples. And I know there have been more, and we couldn't think of them off the top of our heads.
Okay.
The Argos... the ownership announcement when Bell was buying the Argos. That was the same day that the Leafs announced Mike Babcock was going to be their new head coach.
Yeah, that's a big splash.
That's a massive splash. New ownership. This is where we're going with the new routine. Oh, Babcock hired.
Yeah.
I think we'll go in that direction. Argos opener at BMO Field was the night the Leafs drafted Austin Matthews. Dion Phaneuf was traded on CFL free agency day, I believe. Also the same day the Red Blacks got Trevor Harris, which was a massive story and big news in Ottawa. And most recently, the Leafs traded for Brian Boyle the same day the news broke that Mark Trestman and Jim Popp were being hired by the Argos.
So you're calling a Leaf acquisition or a Leaf move, something going on.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know what it is, but whenever the Argos or the CFL end up, you know, having some big news or doing something, the Leafs storm in and kind of end up doing something too.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what if they acquired a defenseman this weekend.
Drew Doughty could be traded for, right?
That would be crazy. And the CFL, that sucks because they don't do anything but put out a good product.
Exactly. It's a big weekend for them.
Well, let's curious hope to see how it all plays out.
I hope the Leafs don't do anything this weekend. Do something closer to the draft.
Yes. Right?
Nothing's going to happen. Although Scott Darling got traded, so I guess you technically could see a deal happen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Interesting. Sign and trade. I don't know if Darling.
Nothing's going to happen.
No, I don't think Darling. I mean, Darling will sign in Carolina. That's the trade and sign type of situation.
But the point is, you can still make deals.
You can do it.
Something
yes.
can technically happen. Duffy and McKenzie both in studio. We'll catch up with Josh Lundberg. We'll get back into the Raptors game last night. Get back into DeRozan's audio today about LeBron. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.